Welcome to Entrepreneurial Impact, where we make impact in the local lives of entrepreneurs that serve their communities. Well, that just didn't sound scripted. That's really not my personality, but hey, that's what ChatGPT told me to start off with. So we're going to go with that one today. Well, I've got a great friend and colleague of mine, Amy Stockberger, on today, who operates an amazing brokerage out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, with 10% market share, 20 agents on that team. And the one thing when you meet Amy is just the amount of energy she brings, not only to life, but also the people that she serves. And, you know, she's got, I'm going to let her do that storytelling, because that's way better for coming from her personal journey. But I think what's cool about Amy is the ability to think about a business where the consumer and the client comes first, and having a attitude towards servant leadership and servant. I'm going to butcher this.
Oh, that didn't take long at all, did it?
It was almost there, Joe. It was almost there.
Servantpreneur.
Right? So, there you go. Yay.
I am not taking that trademark. That is totally Amy's on that one. I butchered the hell out of it. But at least, you know, listening to the Entrepreneurial Impact, we have some fun around here. So, Amy, I'm going to give it over to you. Like, what I would love to start off with is just like how you got to where you're at today. Like, what's been your entrepreneurial journey?
Okay. Well, first of all, Joe and Dave, thank you for having me. Great job on this podcast. I love what you guys do for all of us entrepreneurs. A little bit about myself. I've been in the real estate industry for over 24 years now, which seems insane to me, but I came into it right out of college. My dad owned a Coldwell Banker, and he did the best thing for me. He paid me $24,000 and put me in the back of the office in a dank, dark room, and just gave me what is I call the opposite, a nepotism. And it says sink or swim, girl. And I fell in love with it. I got to learn it kind of I think one of the best ways was the back end first. So I got to learn all the admin, the support, really serving, you know, the agent as the client and the consumer as the client, and Coldwell Banker's ecosystem for a short time. He became an indie right after that. And then I got licensed because I fell in love with it. Started, I was a buyer's agent for a hot second, single agent for even a hotter second, started my team almost a year in, and the world wasn't the way it was. Do you know what? It's like Google wasn't what it is now. So do you know what my Bible was?
The MLS?
No, it was the Millionaire Real Estate Agent. Ah. I built my team because teams weren't really around at that time. We're South Dakota. We're always a little bit behind the curve. And that was my Bible. That's what I grew up on, and decided to build a team right away. Got my sister licensed, got a part-time assistant. And then I just started grinding and kept grinding. And my husband joined. He left the banking world in 2009. Then we were doing well. I found a really, you know, we were pumping. Systems are my superpowers. So we were doing really good at the before and the during. And then 2014 happened. And I found this giant hole in my business, and later realized it was a giant hole in our industry. And I knew I had to fix it, because no matter how good I was doing on the before and during, I didn't have the skill level to take care of the after, the client for life, at that time. And I wasn't getting that repeat and referral business, and I knew I had to change it. So I put a blueprint together, created a model called Lifetime Home Support. It completely changed our lives, changed our clients' experience. And since then, we've been the highest producing team in our state since 2017. Like I said, about 20 agents. We do about 10% of our market share.
Now, I'm going to back it, because you kind of glossed over a really important piece there. First and foremost, the Kelly Green works for me, not just because it's the Eagles, but the color scheme of Entrepreneurial Impact is Kelly Green.
I love it.
Just love laying that out there. So
okay, I love it.
Subliminally connecting and checking all the boxes for us here in the room today. Secondly, you just kind of wrapped up an amazing journey, right? And it's really hard to kind of come in and say, hey, this is what I've done, when we have such an experience. And that journey, like, I think we always focus on the positives, because we never want to allow ourselves to be emotional about the challenging times that actually happen in that. But you said, hey, we recognized some opportunity and we had to create the Lifetime Home Support Network. But what was the triggering effect that led you to do that? Because it's not like, unless I'm wrong, doesn't usually happen overnight, but there are usually a series of events for you to recognize that there's an opportunity here that was being left on the table from my relationship status with my consumers. And this is the direction that I need to take us. What was that for you?
Well, I have a earned PhD in failing forward. And at that time, I was just failing forward on just steroids over and over, just trying to figure out ways not to do things so I could figure out how to do it right and systemize it and scale. But what happened is we had such great reviews from our clients. Our clients were so happy. They were loving us because of what we were doing, the before and during. And then they would come up to me and say, oh, my sister moved to town and they bought a house down the street from me. And I would be shocked and almost like fall over. I'm like, what in the absolute hell do you mean they bought a house down the street? I was not a part of that transaction. And I couldn't understand, why was I not, if I did so good to the before and during, why wasn't I staying top of mind? And so like Gary Keller actually says in that book, that in The Real Estate Millionaire, like humans have two spaces in their brain for real estate agents. Our job every day, every single day, is to pop that other agent's name out of their head. And at that time, again, failing forward. But I thought I was so freaking smart. I was running these billboard ad campaigns to the tune of like $25,000 to $35,000 a year. And the only reason I was running those campaigns, it was not to acquire a new client. The only campaign goal I had, if I got new clients, fabulous. Brand awareness, okay. But the only reason I was running it was to remind the people who knew, like, and trusted me to refer and use me again. And here's like a shocker, guys. Guess what? It didn't serve my clients. It didn't work. I wasn't taking care of their experience before, during, and forever. And that's what I decided. And I wanted a blueprint because we as entrepreneurs, that's what we want. We want to be entrepreneurs because we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. And then we become entrepreneurs and we're like, tell us what the hell to do. We want a blueprint. We want a blueprint to say a little bit like, give us something so we can make it our own, right? Give us that. And I couldn't find anything that resonated with elevating that client experience before, during, and forever. And I was like, done. I'm creating it then. I want to make sure that I'm taking care of them for life. I'm going to become a servapreneur. Not an entrepreneur. I'm going to turn one client into five, and I'm going to turn my clients into raving fans that there's no way my name isn't coming out of their mouth when they have somebody who has a life change.
Thank you for going that deep. I love the emotion that came out of you right then, right? Because you're right. We look at, hey, where are we at in our life cycle? And I think about it all the time.
The tech guy has challenges because he's got some problems right now. So we're going to go with that one. Hey, so I think I know where Dave is going on this one because, you know, obviously being from Philadelphia and having peace. Yeah. But Mike, I think what's really cool about what you just said was that most agents with this whole Instagram, Facebook, instant gratification marketing is this idea of going wide. And what you're hitting on is depth, that you're going really deep with your clients to fulfill a need that they not want. Not right. Something that is trying to move forward your agenda and your business around communication marketing, which is what I heard from that market. So like when you think about depth and value, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you formulated Lifetime Home Support and your team?
Well, first thing, because I didn't know a lot, again, failing forward, I knew that my sphere was going to be my biggest lead source. I just knew that. And so I figured, okay, why wouldn't I go all in on that and work towards helping that? And the stats back then were about the same as they are now. 90% of buyers and sellers say they'd use their real estate agent again, but 13% end up doing so. So how could I be a part not only of their human or their home ownership journey for life, but also their human experience journey, because this is what it is. This is a big deal. What we get to do day in and day out is a big dang deal. We get to help them in really, really happy times and really, really sad times. And all the times in between, we're helping them build likely like 70-some% of Americans, their biggest net worth asset. That's a big damn deal. So why was I not setting it up more as an advisory role, somebody who was there for them through all those stages? So then again, my name is the only obvious name coming out of their mouth when they find somebody or run into somebody who has a life change. So I went in and said, like, this is nothing revolutionary. I bought a moving truck. I created a VIP club. First thing I did. And the moving truck costs money. My husband's my partner. He's a beautiful tight ass, I always say, but he's my tight ass. But he's like, he's mine. But he's like, fine, woman, do it. I mean, I've had to say, trust me to this man so many times in his life. Like most people shouldn't have to listen to how many times I've said, just trust me. I know it's going to work. But I'm like, trust me. I know this is going to work. I bought a truck, but he's like, monetize it. So I sold ad space to my vendors, not anything genius. I cash flowed the truck. It served my clients for life. They got to use it for before, during, and after as many times as they wanted if they bought, sold, or invested. I cash flowed on it, so it was a profit center. It's a brand awareness piece, and it's a beautiful community give back piece too. So I did that first. I was like, oh, easy peasy. And then I'm like, no, at the same time, I'm going to do the next step. I'm going to get a tool shed and a party shed, and I'm going to put these items in there that they're going to need for all of their human experience and home ownership experience. So we know it takes a lot to own a house. and they don't like to rent, buy, and store a lot of these things. So think like wheelbarrows, ladders, specialty tools, commercial grade carpet cleaners, big fans when they get water, all the shit that they really don't want to continue to have, they can get from me for free for life. Same with the party supply. They're going to have all these parties, all these experiences in their life that they don't want to rent, buy, and store this stuff. So think tables and chairs, commercial grade food warmers, cotton candy, snow cone, popcorn machines, all these things that they're going to come back and get from me for free for life. Me serving, I call it my serve, sell business model approach, where they're coming to me to get stuff. So the law of reciprocity automatically kicks in. When somebody gets something from somebody, they feel compelled to give back in kind. And the in kind for us became repeat and referral business. And I branded every piece of equipment. So all these parties they're having, all these things, my brand is everywhere. There's no way my name is not coming out of their mouth. Where did you get this? Where did you get this? All you have to do is buy and sell. And I haven't had one pay-per-click, one Facebook ad, one marketing piece ever that is more valuable and has bigger ROI than this. When you have people on the street constantly saying your name in a positive light to as many people as possible, that is the win. That is what we need to be doing, and doing it from a service first, authentically serving their wants and needs, desires before ours. So they feel that they know that we're here as their advisor to take care of everything they're going to need through homeownership and human journey.
So one of the things I always believe in entrepreneurship is the fact that at the local level in the communities that we get to interact in is that there's usually a gap, right? That a corporate company can't come in and fix. And it's usually being able to fill a value gap at the local level, like human to human. So when you looked at doing this and convincing your tight ass husband, I'm just going to.
Oh, he's mine though, Joe.
Yeah, I get that. There's a boundary line. It's not mine. There's this little. Yeah, joke. So when you were looking at the value gap at the local level in Sioux Falls, how did you come up with this plan as one that the consumer wanted it, right? As number one is like put the consumer first, as I've heard you say a couple times. But number two, I think strategy and saying that you can win at the hyper local level. So how did you go through your strategy of what could I do different for the consumer? What's the value gap they can fill? And then how do I win at something that nobody else could take it from me?
Well, I realized, you know, extreme ownership back in 14, I had to really sit down and look and say, what was my point of difference? What was my unique value proposition? And literally what I kept coming up with is so embarrassing, but it was that I was the local expert at connecting buyers and sellers. You guys, that is our job description. I was getting them top dollar, shortest amount of time, least amount of hassle.
I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, that's why they don't go for sale by owner. I'm going to get you a house that matches your parameters and your budget. Yeah.
So you did your job. Congratulations.
I was doing my job. I was doing nothing else. It was table stakes. And the comparison I use is like using a surgeon who says, I have steady hands. Or I'm an attorney who's passed the bar. That's my value proposition. Well, yeah, those are givens. And so I didn't have any, like my core and vision wasn't anywhere else that was different from my competition. And that's really where it came from. It's like, what could I do to provide immense value for life? And we haven't had a past client since 2014. We just have clients for life. We don't have past clients. That's just the way it works in our business. And because of that, we are easily able to change one to five, you know, one client into five more clients and continue to serve those clients. But another, what else brought me to it is that we're super connectors in all things because we kept adding levels to this that we want to connect them because we connect buyers and sellers. Yes, that's our J-O-B. That's what we're supposed to do. But also we connect with everything else they need because they come back to us and trust us. And we are so lucky to be the trusted referral source for those things. So I thought, how could I do it? NAR is telling us that I needed to listen to the stats. Your sphere is going to be your biggest lead source. So I should be doubling down on growing my sphere all the time. And in a way that was authentically serving them, but then solving problems. Mm. You know, that's what a good entrepreneur does. They find a solution to what is a problem. And the problem was that clients weren't getting served afterwards. And then I also found some other problems along the way when we created our vendor network and our vendor program, that all these business owners, like all of us, were trying to find ways to scale our business, to have better B2B contact, to have all these different things. And I thought, how could I take this whole eco and put it together and still be at the core of it, serving clients for life and solve all these other problems in the same time.
You know what I love that I'm seeing here is that not just what you've put together, right? I have a lot of conversations that revolve around some of the things that you've done. And I talk a lot of times, like, who are we? Well, we're whatever side of the triangle hat we need to be at any particular time for our consumers. And at the end of the day, we need them to be our advocates. But how do we win them over? It's not just knowing things about them, as you're referencing. It's right. being there for them in all ways, all the time. If we look at the life cycle of relationship, right, there's the lead generation component, and then there's the transaction coordination component. They're in the periphery, they're in the outside. That largest percentage, the 80%, is the follow-up. And people get lost in the follow-up of thinking, contract, I got to get them to the closing table. You're living in the follow-up of everything but. It'll come because I serve my consumers and I'm right. giving them value. And what I'm seeing you execute on is that idea of home ownership or home management through relationships. So how are you getting now through your vendor program, your VIP program, right? Mm-hmm. How long has this been in place?
So found the hole in 14, really got everything going in 15. So my VIP program, my VIP unique value proposition has a couple of pillars. It's the moving trucks. We have multiple paid for by other people, party shed, tool shed. And again, I don't have a warehouse. I started this whole thing with like an 8x10 shed. I'm teaching agents how to do this across the nation. They start with an 8x10 shed. And yeah. you know, and the tools, I stole them from that tight ass's garage that I live with. That's where I started. Because if he wanted to use them, he could come look at my name on them and use them when people weren't using them. So I started there. But then we added an online discount center. We really upped our client event game. But then we were super connectors. So I saw the solution in the vendor program that I wanted to have, because they come to us, who they should use for right. electric, HVAC, who they should use for a dentist. They come to us for all these things, right? So I thought, why couldn't I solve more problems taking care of my clients for life with a vendor program specific to them that was omnipresent throughout my business? Help these businesses grow their business. My vision is to build big, juicy legacies for everybody in my ecosystem through my lifetime home support model, whether it's my clients, my team, my community. And so I'm like, okay, I can help them grow their businesses. And then I can also monetize it. These vendors pay me $3,500 a year to be a part of the program. We have over 100 vendors in our program. So we're profitable before we even sell a house. But the other part of it is saying leveraging what the stats say. Grow your sphere. So a part of this is us, we also use it as a huge lead generation source too, where on top of them being paying for the program, the other caveat of being in it is they have to allow us access to their employees, where we come in and say, not only are we the experts at connecting buyers and sellers, but this is how we do it with our lifetime home support model, where our clients can save $20,000 in the first year, the support and savings continue for life. Like all these things that we would be then the obvious choice in their head when somebody they know or they themselves have a life change. And that one to many conversations and that the leveraging and the growth of that sphere in my nurture system is the biggest part of our repeat and referral based business. That's just what we've done here.
Now I see a couple of components. Now you've added layers to your advocacy mm-hmm. network. It's not just your consumers right. who are now referring business for you because they're so entrusted with you. It's right. now your vendors. It's your vendors' employees.
Right.
Right. Because you've gone out and say, look, we're mature adults and I'm utilizing your services. I truly expect you to use more. And not just because you're paying me to be on my website, but right. because we do a good job and we're allowing you to be in our network because we trust you to do a good job. So it's right. 100% win-win for everybody.
Right. Which is the only way it's going to win. Right.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Now, right. how has that grown? And I can only imagine like hockey stick growth as far as traffic goes, right? Oh, going right. from word of mouth, right? Like Amy and her team, the Lifestyle Network, has all the answers I need. So you go from email responding. How long has it taken from that to now you're seeing just traffic and lead generation come in because of the relationships and the website that's in place? That's become now your online Rolodex for all things.
Right. So really we, you know, got up and going on 15, but we're still making tons of, you know, errors, sure. you know, on it in iterations. And we'll always be. And that's one thing I really am passionate about too, as I coach other agents in that, is that I'm always going to be an operator because I think you have to be in the trenches to understand what's going on. But by 17, we became the highest producing team. And by that time it was about double than any other team. We're a team original brokerage that runs as a team. But it's our whole business model. It's everything that we're about. People don't know my brand without knowing that we are their lifetime home support resource. We have everything they need before, during, and forever. There isn't anything that we have. Like, we have little stickers that we put on there during the walkthrough for buyers. It's our scan it, our stick it, scan it, solve it stickers. And we put them like next to their garage door opener. We put it on their furnace. They put them on their countertops. It's my live QR to all my networks, to all my vendor networks. So it's like, it goes straight to them. And my vendors, they all give my clients preferential treatment, preferential, some of them preferential pricing, but this is, they're always, we're always adding and putting new ones on there. So whatever you need, go to that. But then here's the other part of it that I found, because again, failing forward, the logistics, everybody's like, oh, it's a logistics. Well, I went through the logistics hell of like the rental part of it and those things. And I was like, screw it, I'm making a solution. So I built software for the solution. But one of the big parts when I was building the software for that check-in, check-out process to make it streamlined for my staff here and streamlined for the consumer. Because, okay, think about this too, millennials. Do you think they're going to be a big part of our the next part of our real estate sales for the next couple decades? Heck yeah, they are.
Their parents I'll bet.
Heck yeah. Well, their real estate preferences are based on convenience and amenities, and they are the most loyal of generations ever.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, okay. So if I built my software around that, we're just giving back to them, which they love, but also giving back to my agents. So anytime their clients check out a piece of equipment, my software notifies my my agent, which gives my agent an authentic connection point. Hey, saw you just checked out the margarita machine or the new karaoke machine or whatever it is they put on there, that they're able to have that connection where they're serving, touching base and not commission breath. Who do you know who wants to buy or sell? You know, it's not that. It's like, here, how can I serve you? Also, did you know that, you know, we have it all set up? Like every Monday, they get an email, my agents, on who the vendors are that makes sense for them to call their agents or their clients on for the week because of where we're at in the seasons. They offer this, they offer that. Again, giving them authentic touch points to remain a massive service. I call it, you know, servopreneurs on steroids, you know, that they get to stay there. And that allows us to have stickiness with not only our clients, but with our agents. We have an average agent tenure of 7 years.
You know, when we think about the servopreneur mindset, it's give, 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 give. And right. You can have ideas and you can have culture around those things, which you obviously do. I think what most agents miss out really is on the execution of those ideas and the passion that you're leading with. Mm-hmm. But what I'm also hearing you is kind of bring this up that I don't want to expose anything, but you have a superpower for systems. Yes. So without the ideas, right, mm-hmm. but you're tying that together with your incorporation of those ideas through a massive amount of follow-up. Where does that come from and how does that happen, right? You have a network, but it's driven by you. So why is that so important to you to saying, we're going to keep doing this and we're going to keep looking at it?
Right. Well, because I did it all wrong to begin with. You know, I just did it all wrong and I did it at the expense of my family, my health. I mean, I did it. I was busting ass. I was 15 hours a day grinding, doing it all wrong. I didn't have the systems in place when I first got into it. And I'm like, there had to be a better way. And I just fell in love with the fact knowing that, well, first type A, like I could control something that helps. Right. but that I could have a way, I call it SAD, systemize, automate, delegate, or delete from my business so that I could enjoy doing other things or at that time really scale and keep doing better things so that I was working on the right things. And I think that's where agents really fail is they forget to lay that foundation of systems right from the beginning and how much time that buys back for them that allows them to do what they need to do, which is to be the CEO of their business, to work on their business on ways to help grow their business. And that's like, it's a joke in my company that when I say checklist, they say drink because I say checklist a lot. And checklists are they're living, breathing entities.
I'm moving to South Dakota.
Yeah. We have a kegerator here. We have a ping pong machine. Come on in. but it's just, they're a living, breathing entity that we're always fine tuning. Like right now, zero time to do this, but I feel it's so important. I'm getting certified in this AI thing just because I feel like there's so many things that I could increase our profit margins by doing and how I can help scale my agents even more by showing them how to do these things that I feel like there's just so much out there that I don't know. And building new skills, I think that's an entrepreneur's superpower. That should be, besides implementing, should be their next superpower is your job is to build the next skill to get you to the next level. because that's what's, you know, that's what's keeping you from scaling that next level. You need to build that next skill. And so like, to me, that's like, okay, I can systemize even more if I know more about the different options I have to do that, not only for myself, but for my agents.
So you're saying self-development is actually one of the key things to help your growth.
Yes.
Novel idea.
I know, right?
Yeah. But no, I mean, and I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being dead serious with people. It's like, it's so simple, yet mm-hmm. it gets turned over and not looked at as a massive way to scale your business. And the systemization, I know, is one of your biggest pieces, is you only got, you know, you got kids, family, and you only get so many hours in the day to impact your consume, you know, your customers and client base. To also still have a life around your family memories, which I know is big for you. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this final question. So it's going through trying to make an impact, doing something different for your consumers, going where most people aren't at, systematize it, because, you know, I think that an acronym you gave people about SAD, or systemize it, automate it, delegate it, or delete it, because it doesn't matter. Going back to the entrepreneurial journey and the impact that you're looking to have, going back to your journey of starting in a isolated cubicle in your dad's franchise, what values through your journey have you pulled forward that you lead with when you're making decisions about the impact you're having for your customers?
You know, I think really all of it comes down to just elevating that experience for them, because it is such a big dang deal, and making sure that, you know, of course we have to be the experts at the market. That's a given. But elevating that experience and making sure that we're there for every touch point in a big way. And one of our core values is communication cubed, which is communication, communication, communication. While location, location, location is really, really important in real estate, but man, if you can effectively communicate the entire process to somebody who only gets to do this 3 to 5 times during their life, how much better of an experience is that for them? And so that's a big part of it too, is doing that. And because I've failed a million times, I have above my door, it says, be the leader you would follow. Sometimes it's me just staying in my office and maybe taking a second before I go back out.
Well, I mean, your statement on that one inside your office goes back to what you just said, was like the personal development, that like you're going to develop yourself into who you need to become so that people around you are impacting themselves, growing and getting to the opportunities that they wouldn't have anywhere else but besides being in your company. Mm-hmm. And at what everyone listening, I think what you just heard from Amy, and I'm taking notes as I'm making sure I don't miss a bunch, is a ton of like great items to implement into a business. But everything that you've brought back, there's a channel, there is a consistent theme of customer first that I think mm-hmm. in our industry, it's been agent, you know, Real Producers, all these different magazines. Here's my jet. Here's my Maybach. Here's my mm-hmm. $1 million. So whatever the things is, there's been a promotion of the agent's business. And what I see you doing is a true servant leadership exercise to not only your agents, but also servantpreneur to your customers around, it's not about me, it's about your experience. It's about the buying and selling process. It's about your experiences in the home, how we can leverage that, especially because now the tenure that people are living in their home is up over 10 years now, as opposed to 5 to 7. And I think if you hear anything from Amy's episode today, is that like, what do your customers need? Put yourself in their shoes, understand their journey, understand their pain points. And if you can be the super connector that alleviates pain so that they can spend more time in the experience and memory creation of why they bought the home and how you make that journey way more easy, you're going to be what you brought up at the beginning, was the mind share, the person they immediately go to mm-hmm. at their advisory role for all things home and all things life experiences. Because I think that's what you've actually morphed into as I've gotten to know you, is it's not just the home, it's all the things around that and how to make your life easier as a preferred advisor. And I think it's beautiful.
Thank you. It works. And it's been so much fun. And when's the last time you guys helped somebody and you felt terrible? Doesn't happen.
I brought this up on my leadership call on Monday. There was an Ed Milet podcast. It's funny you bring this up about servant, like servantship, mm-hmm. because Milet brought up, he was just like, think about this. In all of your life, the most fulfilled you are is that when you know you did something for somebody else, mm-hmm. and they look at you and say, I can't believe this just happened. I can't believe you helped me. I'm so ecstatic. I'm so happy. Like, I couldn't have done this without you. And that level, when they talk about impact, is the thing that goes way beyond any type of money you could make or any type of like power or whatever you want to call that. It's the ability to impact somebody on a local level, knowing that they couldn't have gotten there without you.
Oh my gosh, that's the best thing. A couple events ago, we just had two of my vendors came up and said, your program has 100% changed my life. Like, hey, that was like, that made like my year. I'm like, good, because that means that's changed your family's life. That means that it's had such an impact on what we're able to do, that we're solving problems in our ecosystem that is helping in other people's authentically their wants, needs, and desires before mine. And it's the go-giver book. And that's what happens. When that happens, sales naturally follow.
And that's the essence of entrepreneurial impact. For everybody that tunes into this, that you got into being your small business owner, real estate, whatever it is, that you're your own business and you're an entrepreneur. And yes, it's hard because you're dealing with sales and HR and accounting and finances and scaling and problems, and all that kind of stuff. But you're actually at the local level solving an impact that nobody else can. And what Amy just brought up is exactly what this podcast revolves around, is that the local level, where there's humans, where there's relationships, and where there's value gap, that there are people that are passionate about the servant aspect of a business. And if you lead with that, your entrepreneurial impact goes well beyond just a financial number, but actually goes into life experiences and memories of how you've actually changed the trajectory of not only the customer that you're serving, but also the small business person that would never have had the relationship to serve them as a plumber, electrician. And I think that's the beauty of any type of entrepreneur that's listening, is remember the humanized side of the impact that you're having through your business.
Right. And I say it, I think I got the honor to speak at one of your four events. And one of my slides is, I say, you know, what is your, you know, your B2C, that's important. Your B2B is important. But what is your H to H? What is your human to human strategy in your business? And that's what we need to be looking at. What is your H to H strategy? Because that's where you're going to win big and you're going to help big.
I love that. You know, the thing that resonates a lot for me is, you know, you hear people say I'm an idea person, and we've kind of touched on execution a little bit, but indecision, right? If you think about all the paralyzing choices that people don't make because they're scared to fail.
Right.
And I listen to your story, and I know, like, you referenced failing forward. So however, those dominoes have continued to fall for you because you have made decisions to try.
Right.
And that's kind of what I want people to hear from here. Is it's not about the what if it doesn't. It's about when it does.
Right. And what is it? Is it Jefferson who said when he had the light bulb? I might have that wrong. I think that he said, I found 10,000 ways for something not to work. Yeah. And that's what it is, right? And we don't, without risk, there's no success.
No.
And you do. I really think entrepreneurs need to have and hone that superpower of implementation. Because how much stuff sits there that you just don't try? Because who cares if you fail? Who the hell cares? What's the point of this if we don't? We get to play business every day. That's why I tell my husband, like, man, we get to go to work and play business today. Let's go get it. Let's go get it. This is ours. We're entrepreneurs. We're servantpreneurs. But yeah, having that implementation, I say to my agents too, like, I want you to have that superpower of implementation. Just do it. Do it. Go fail. Go make mistakes.
Well, Amy, I just want to say thank you for your time today and giving some insights into our audience base here. If you haven't followed Amy on social media, it's Amy Stockburger. You got Instagram, you got Facebook. Give her a like, give her a follow. Also, if you have any real estate needs in Sioux Falls, I'm sure she's you'd be happy to take on your client referral on that one. Also, if you know, Amy's got a great product and service around lifetime home support that she's modeled out. If you have inquiries in there, you can also reach out to what her unique business model is for some insights from coaching and consulting on that one. And then for you all listening today, if you haven't followed and liked Entrepreneurial Impact, do that now. You also find us on YouTube. So Amy, I want to say thank you so much for today's time. And then Dave, well, you know, you're still a PC guy.
Yeah, it was an honor, gentlemen. Thank you for the time. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Amy. Take care.